And now, the second program in our new series of fortnightly performances of the operas of Gilbert and Sullivan. Today's opera is The Sorcerer.
Thank you.
one fine morning in the summer of 1877, the villagers of Plaverley gather in festive mood to celebrate the betrothal of the squire's son, Alexis Point Dexter of the Grenadier Guards, to Arlene, lovely daughter of the widowed Lady Sangajour.
My aching heart relief. rejoice, he shows no pleasure. When I am sad, it grieves him not. His solemn voice has tones I treasure. My heart is glad, this solace I am happy.
About it. Do not fear. I too have loved. But that was long ago. Who is the object of your young affection?
Oh, hush, Mother. He is here.
Our Reverend Vicar?
Oh, pity me. My heart is almost broken.
My child, be comforted. To such a union, I shall not offer any opposition. Take him. He's yours. May you and he be happy.
But, Mother, dear, he is not yours to give. Mm,
that's true indeed.
He might object.
He might. But come, take heart. I'll probe him on the subject. Be comforted. Leave this affair to me.
Curate had I a headache, sighed the maids assembled. Had I a cold, welled forth a silent tear. Did I look pale, then half a parish trembled. And when I coughed, all thought the end was near. I had no care, no jealous doubts hung o'er me, for I was loved beyond all other men. Fled gilded dukes and belted earls before me. I was a pale young curate, a pale young curate, a pale young curate. I was a pale young curate then.
Good day, Reverend Sir.
Ah, good, Mrs. Partlett. I am glad to see you. And your little daughter, Constance. Why, she is quite a little woman, I declare.
Oh, Mother, I cannot speak to her.
Yes, Reverend Sir, she's nearly 18, and as good a girl as ever stepped. Oh, Sir, I'm afraid I shall soon lose her.
Dear me, you pain me very much. Is she delicate?
Oh, no, Sir, I don't mean that. But young girls look to get married.
Oh, I take you to be sure. But there's plenty of time for that. 4 or 5 years hence, Mrs. Partlett. 4 or 5 years hence. But when the time does come, I shall have much pleasure in marrying her myself to some strapping young fellow in her own rank of life.
Oh, he does not love me.
I have often wondered, Reverend Sir, if you'll excuse the liberty, that you have never married.
Be still, my fluttering heart.
A clergyman's wife does so much good in a village. Besides that, you're not as young as you were. And before very long, you'll want somebody to nurse you and look after your little comforts.
Oh, Mrs. Partlett, there is much truth in what you say. I am indeed getting on in years, and a helpmate would cheer my declining days. Time was when it might have been. But I have left it too long. I am an old fogey now, am I not, my dear?
Oh.
A very old fogey indeed. No, Mrs. Partlett, my mind is quite made up. I shall live and die a solitary old bachelor.
Oh, Mother.
Come, dear one, don't fret. At a more fitting time, we will try again. We will try again.
Poor little girl. I'm afraid she has something on her mind. She is rather comely. Ah, time was when this old heart would have throbbed in double time at the sight of such a fairy form. But tush, I am puling. Ah, here comes the young Alexis with his proud and happy father. Let me dry this telltale tear.
Sir Marmaduke, my dear young friend Alexis, on this most happy, most auspicious plighting, permit me, as a true old friend, to tender my very best congratulations. Sir, you are most obliging.
Dr. Daly, my dear old tutor, and my valued pastor, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
May fortune bless you. May the middle distance of your young life be pleasant as the foreground, the joyous foreground. Ah, and when you have reached it, may that which now is the far-off horizon, but which will then become the middle distance, in fruitful promise be exceeded only by that which will have opened in the meantime into a new and glorious horizon.
Dear sir, that is an excellent example of an old school of stately compliment to which I have through life been much addicted. Will you oblige me with a copy of it in clerkly manuscript that I myself may use it on appropriate occasion?
Sir, you shall have a fairly written copy ere Sol has sunk into his western slumber.
Come, come, my son. Your fiancée will be here in 5 minutes. Rouse yourself to receive her.
Oh, rapture!
Yes, you are a fortunate young fellow, and I will not disguise from you that this union with the House of Sangazur realizes my fondest wishes. Aline is rich, and she comes of a sufficiently old family, for she is the 7037th in direct descent from Helen of Troy. True, there was a blot on the escutcheon of that lady, that affair with Paris. But where is the family other than my own, in which there is no flaw? You are a lucky fellow, sir, a very lucky fellow.
Father, I am welling over with limpid joy. No sicklying taint of sorrow overlies the lucid lake of liquid love upon which, hand in hand, Aline and I are to float into eternity.
Alexis, I desire that of your love for this young lady, you do not speak so openly. You are always singing ballads in praise of her beauty, and you expect the very menials who wait behind your chair to chorus your ecstasies. It is not delicate.
Father, a man who loves as I love...
Poo-poo, sir! 50 years ago, I madly loved your future mother-in-law, the Lady Sangazur, and I have reason to believe that she returned my love. But were we guilty of the indelicacy of publicly rushing into each other's arms, exclaiming, "Oh, my adored one, beloved boy, ecstatic rapture and mingled joy!" Which seems to be the modern fashion of lovemaking. No, it was... Madam, I trust you are in the enjoyment of good health. Sir, you are vastly polite. I protest I am mighty well. And so forth. Much more delicate, much more respectful. But see, Aline approaches. Let us retire that she may compose herself for the interesting ceremony in which she is to play so important a part.
Choice, take a heart, perfected, it comes alive. Chop, I prize, for he's the best that ever came us yowing, that came us yowing. Yet we must part, young heart, yet we must part, yet we must part, yet we must part.
Congratulations. Heed not the tear that dims this aged eye. Old memories crowd around me. Though I sorrow, 'tis for myself, Aline, and not for thee.
My lady, Sangazul.
Sir.
Welcome, joy, adieu to sadness, as Aurora gilds the bay. So those eyes, twin orbs of gladness, chase the clouds of care away. Irresistible incentive, bid me humbly kiss your hand. I'm your servant, most attentive, most attentive to command.
Wild with adoration, mad with fascination, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss. Goaded to distraction by maddening inaction, I find some satisfaction in apostrophe like this.
Sang as you're immortal,
sing as you're divine. Welcome to my portal, angel, oh, be mine. Immortal, divine, angel, oh, be mine. Irresistible incentive, bid me humbly kiss your hand. I'm your servant, most attentive, most attentive, to command.
Sir, I thank you most politely for your graceful courtesy. Compliment more truly knightly never yet was paid to me. Chivalry is an ingredient sadly lacking in our land. Sir, I am your most obedient, most obedient to command. Wild with adoration, mad with fascination, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss. Goaded to distraction by maddening inaction, I find some satisfaction in apostrophe like this. Mamma Duke immortal, Mamma Duke divine, take me to my portal, loved one, oh, be mine. Immortal, divine, loved one, oh, be mine.
I'm with adoration, mad with fascination, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss. Wild with adoration, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss.
Why with adoration, mad with fascination, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss. To indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss.
While with adoration, yes, I'm mad with fascination, to indulge my lamentation, no occasion do I miss.
You're most obedient. You're most obedient to
without a quiver, it meant to seal, proceed.
last we are alone. My darling, you are now irrevocably betrothed to me. Are you not very, very happy?
Oh, Alexis, can you doubt it? Do I not love you beyond all on earth, and am I not beloved in return? Is not true love faithfully given and faithfully returned the source of every earthly joy?
Of that there can be no doubt. Oh, that the world could be persuaded of the truth of that maxim. Oh, that the world would break down the artificial barriers of rank, wealth, education, age, beauty, habits, taste, and temper, and recognize the glorious principle that in marriage alone is to be found the panacea for every ill.
Continue to preach that sweet doctrine, and you will succeed, O evangel of true happiness.
I hope so. But as yet the cause progresses but slowly. Still, I have made some converts to the principle that men and women should be coupled in matrimony without distinction of rank. I have lectured on the subject at mechanics' institutes, and the mechanics were unanimous in favor of my views. I have preached in workhouses, beer shops, and asylums, and I have been received with enthusiasm. I have addressed navvies on the advantages that would accrue to them if they married wealthy ladies of rank, and not a navvy dissented.
Noble fellows. And yet there are those who hold that the uneducated classes are not open to argument. And what do the countesses say?
Why, at present it can't be denied the aristocracy hold aloof.
Ah, the working man is the true intelligence after all.
He is a noble creature when he's quite sober. Yes, Aline, true happiness comes of true love. And true love should be independent of external influences. It should live upon itself and by itself. In itself, love should live for love alone.
Love feeds on many kinds of food, I know. Some love for rank and some for duty. Some give their hearts away for empty show, and others love for youth and beauty. To love for money all the world is prone. Some love themselves and live alone. Give me the love that loves for love alone. I love that love, I love it only. I love that love, I love it only. Give me the love that loves for love alone. I love that love, I love it. For any other joy can thirst, whose loving wife adores him duly. What misery and care may work their worst, if loving woman loves you truly. A lover's thoughts are ever with his own, none truly loved is ever lone. The love that loves for love alone. I love that love, I love it only. I love that love, I love it only. Give me the love that loves for love alone. I love that love, I love it.
Alexis, those are noble principles.
Yes, Aline, and I am going to take a desperate step in support of them. Have you ever heard of the firm of J.W. Wells and Co., the old established family sorcerers in St. Mary Axe?
I have seen their advertisement.
They have invented a filter, which, if report may be believed, is simply infallible. I intend to distribute it through the village, and within half an hour of my doing so, there will not be an adult in the place who will not have learnt the secret of pure and lasting happiness. What do you say to that?
Well, dear, of course, a filter is a very useful thing in a house. But still, I don't quite see that it is the sort of thing that places its possessor on the very pinnacle of earthly joy.
Aline, you misunderstand me. I didn't say a filter. I said a filter.
You don't mean a love potion?
On the contrary, I do mean a love potion.
Oh, Alexis, I don't think it would be right. I don't indeed. And then, a real magician. Oh, it would be downright wicked.
Aline, is it or is it not a laudable object to steep the whole village up to its lips in love and to couple them in matrimony without distinction of age, rank, or fortune?
Unquestionably.
Then, unpleasant as it must be to have recourse to supernatural aid, I must nevertheless pocket my aversion in deference to the great and good end I have in view. Hercules!
Yes, sir?
Is Mr. Wells there?
He's in the tent, sir. Refreshing.
Oh. But ask him to be so good as to step this way.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but Alexis, a real sorcerer. Oh, I shall be frightened to death.
I trust my Aline will not yield to fear while the strong right arm of her Alexis is here to protect her.
It's nonsense, dear, to talk of your protecting me with your strong right arm, in face of the fact that this family sorcerer could change me into a guinea pig before you could turn round.
He could change you into a guinea pig, no doubt, but it is most unlikely that he would take such a liberty. It's a most respectable firm, and I'm sure he would never be guilty of so untradesmanlike an act.
Good day, sir.
Good day. I believe you are a sorcerer.
Yes, sir. We practice necromancy in all its branches. We've a choice assortment of wishing caps, divining rods, amulets, charms, and countercharms. We can cast you a nativity at a low figure, and we have an horoscope at 3 and 6 that we can guarantee. Our abudar chests, each containing a patent hag who comes out and prophesies disasters, with spring complete, are strongly recommended. Our Aladdin lamps are very chaste. And our prophetic tablets, foretelling everything from a change of ministry down to a rise in unified, are much inquired for. Our penny curse, one of the cheapest things in the trade, is considered infallible. We have some very superior blessings, too, but they're very little asked for. We've only sold one since Christmas to a gentleman who bought it to send to his mother-in-law, but it turned out that he was afflicted in the head and it's been returned on our hands. But our sale of penny curses, especially on Saturday nights, is tremendous. We can't turn them out fast enough.
My name is John Wellington Wells. I'm a dealer in magic and spells, in blessings and curses and ever-filled purses, in prophecies, witches and bells. If you want a proud foe to make tracks, if you'd melt a rich uncle in wax, you've but to look in on the resident gin number 70, Simmery Axe. We've a first-rate assortment of magic, and for raising a posthumous shade, with effects of the comic or tragic, there's no cheaper house in the trade. Love filter, we've quantities of it, and for knowledge, if anyone burns, we're keeping a very small profit, a profit who brings us unbounded returns. For he can prophesy with a wink of his eye, peep with security into future. Sum up your history, clear up a mystery. Humor, proclivity, for a nativity, for a nativity. He has answers oracular, bogey spectacular, tetrapod tragical, mirror so magical, patch astronomical, solemn or comical. And if you want it, he makes a reduction on taking a quantity. Oh! If anyone anything likes, he'll find it already in stacks. If you'll only look in on the resident gin number 70, Simmery Axe. He can raise you hosts of ghosts, and that without reflectors, and creepy things with wings, and gaunt and grisly spectres. He can fill you clouds of shrouds, and horrify you vastly. He can rack your brains with chains, and gibberings grim and ghostly. Then if you planity changes your canity with an urbanity full of satanity, vexes humanity with an inanity fatal to vanity, driving your foes to the verge of insanity. Barring tautology, in demonology, electrobiology, mystic gnosology, spirit philology, high cross astrology, such is inology, isn't the man to require an apology. Oh! My name is John Wellington Wells. I'm a dealer in magic and spells, in blessings and curses, and ever fill purses in prophecies, witches and elves. And if anyone anything lacks, he'll find it already in stacks. If he'll only look in on the resident gin number 77 of the axe.
I have sent for you to consult you on a very important matter. I believe you advertise a patent oxyhydrogen love at first sight filter.
Sir, it is our leading article.
Now, I want to know if you can confidently guarantee it as possessing all the qualities you claim for it in your advertisement.
Sir, we are not in the habit of puffing our goods. Ours is an old established house with a large family connection, and every assurance held out in the advertisement is fully realized.
Oh, Alexis, don't offend him. He'll change us into something dreadful. I know he will.
I am anxious, from purely philanthropical motives, to distribute this filter secretly among the inhabitants of this village. I shall, of course, require a quantity. How do you sell it?
In buying a quantity, sir, we should strongly advise your taking it in the wood and drawing it off as you happen to want it. We have it in 4.5 and 9 gallon casks, also in pipes and hogsheads for laying down, and we deduct 10% for prompt cash.
I should mention that I'm a member of the Army and Navy Stores.
In that case, we deduct 25%.
Aline, the villagers will assemble to carouse in a few minutes. Go and fetch the teapot.
But Alexis...
My dear, you must obey me, if you please. Go fetch the teapot.
I'm sure Dr. Daly would disapprove of it.
And how soon does it take effect?
In 12 hours.
Ah.
Whoever drinks of it loses consciousness for that period, and on waking falls in love, as a matter of course, with the first lady he meets who has also tasted it, and his affection is at once returned. One trial will prove the fact.
The teapot, Alexis. The large one.
Good. Then, Mr. Wells, I shall feel obliged if you will at once pour as much filter into this teapot as will suffice to affect the whole village.
But bless me, Alexis. Many of the villagers are married people.
Madam, this filter is compounded on the strictest principles. On married people it has no effect whatever. But are you quite sure that you have nerve enough to carry you through the fearful ordeal?
In the good cause, I fear nothing.
Very good, then. We will proceed at once to the incantation.
Of flame and fire, demon souls, come here in shoals, this fearful deed inspire. Appear, appear, appear. Hags of night, imps of deadly shade, pallid ghosts, arise in hosts and lend me all your aid. Appear, appear, appear.
They assemble, those fiends of the night.
Oh, Alexis, I tremble. Seek safety in flight. Distraught on the farm of man where peace and plenty dwell, where the sound of the silver strand is echoing.
Now, shriveled hags with poison bags, discharge your loathsome loads. Spit flame and fire on holy choir, belch forth your venom toads. Ye demons fell, with yelp and yell, shed curses far afield. Ye fiends of night, your filthy blight in noisome vents yield. Number one.
It is gone.
Number two.
One, two, three.
Number three!
But enjoy yourselves, I pray. Eat, I, and drink, be merry, I implore ye. For once let thoughtless folly rule the day. Drink and be gay, banish all worry and sorrow. Laugh gaily today, weep if you're sorry tomorrow. Come, pass the cup round, I will go pale for the liquor. It's strong, I'll be bound, for it was brewed by the vicar. It's strong, I'll be bound, for it was brewed by the vicar.
Dance and glory see, let's go to your door of tea. Ha 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 ha, a princess and door of tea.
See, they drink, although hot and bleeding, the tea guns click. They are exceeding, their hearts will melt in half an hour. They will be felt, the potion's power. They will be felt, the potion's power. The potion's power.
Paint, try.
trouble and care, misery, heartache and worry. Quick, out of your lair, get you all gone in a hurry. Toil, sorrow and thought, fly away quicker and quicker. 3 spoons to the pot, that is the brew of your vicar. 3 spoons to the pot, that is the brew of your vicar.
None so kind of as he, and through your door of tea. Ha 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 ha, a prince in your door of tea.
Confusion.